Evening, Erev Tov. Today's Amud Naraisa Yuma Ayin Ches Amud Aleph. Ayin Ches Aleph. The beginning again is in Agadza continues in that conversation we started yesterday about the vision of Yecheskel, about the stream that's going to emanate from the Kodesh Kedoshim and get bigger and bigger as it goes further away. So we'll get back to that. That's where we'll start from, towards the bottom of Ayin Zayin and Beis. But just quickly to review over our conversations or Gemara from yesterday. So first we started with the Limud about the final Inui, the final of the five Inuyim. You know, the first Inui is, of course, Achil and Shtia is one Inui. Rechitza, washing is two. Sicha, anointing oneself is three. Nil Sandal is four. And the final one is Tashmish Shemitah. So yesterday we wrote a source, we started with a source from Lavan, that refraining from Tashmish Shemitah, Lavan was telling Yaakov Inu to be careful not to be Ma'ana, his daughters, which we explained to be by doing something to them which would cause them to refrain from Tasha Shemitah. That was the source. That is the fifth and final Inui. Then there went on to some heterim when it comes to Rechitza, that even though you're not allowed to wash yourself, but if one washes himself just to clean off dirt, schmutz, plaster, dung, whatever it may be, that's permissible. Similarly with Sicha, we also had some leniency that was if one has some sort of chatatan on the head, he has scabs, he has some other chayla, he could use sicha. We pointed out that there's a separate issue of refuah. Refuah you can't do a Shabbos anyway, and presumably Yom Kippur. We said, it must be, it's like a mechal briyam, it's something that healthy people would do, not on Yom Kippur, obviously, because Yom Kippur you can't do sicha, but the point is something that healthy people would do all year round wouldn't have the issue of refuah. Nor of us, the issue of sicha Yom Kippur, well, there's a dispensation when there's a chayla, and we also pointed out that there's clearly a chilik that when it comes to rechitza, we're saying that you only let a wash of. You're allowed to wash off even dirt, schmutz. When it comes to sicha, has to be that imam is a chayla, because the idea is that sicha in general is already like tainug sicha. So only when it's a chayla is allowed. Whereas washing is pleasurable, the Miri explains, when you're washing for tainug, for stam zayfana, but to get rid of dirt is not really b'chlal pleasure, and therefore not an issue. And then we spoke out that a woman can wash her hands in order to feed the child bread, and so too they said about a certain Tana that he was forced to wash his Shammai Zaken was forced to wash his hands by the people twice, both hands, in order to feed the child. The issue over there was the issue of Shifta, the Ruach Ra that is on a person's hand when he takes bread to feed the child. Rashi seems to say it relates to the general Ruach Ra before touching food, and may relate to the Ruach Ra that comes in the morning. He says no, there's a special Ruach Ra that came for someone that comes for someone who's feeding a child specifically in the age range of 4 or 5 years old. Why that is not sure, but that is the Ruach Ra. And Taisa actually points out, why are we not worried about Bezman Hazeh? Because we don't hear such a spirit. Bezman Hazeh, this spirit doesn't exist in our parts, in our neighborhoods, and therefore we're not so concerned. And then we discussed the idea of going to visit a Rebbe, going to visit a father, on Yom Kippur, and walking through a channel of water. We pointed out that, first of all, it's very different than our whole vision of Yom Kippur. You don't typically go on walks or visitation, even for a mitzvah, but we don't do that. You can visit a father to see if he's doing well on Yom Kippur. But in general, this notion of going, and the Gemara even spoke about going to visit one's orchard to make sure that things are under control because for protection from Davar Avad. So for mitzvah purposes, Davar Avad purposes, one can go through the water. The Chiddush is not a problem of Rechitza because he's just going through the water for a separate reason and therefore not an issue. We had a Shiloh whether a Rebbe can go to a Talmud. Talmud going to Rebbe is a clear mitzvah. Rebbe going to Talmud, maybe he's going to learn, he's likely going to teach him Torah, but not the Torah for the Rebbe going to Talmud, is that permits his mitzvah as well. And the Gemara left it unresolved. We may have spoken to that yesterday. If we didn't, we should have. The Rif Paskins, Lechumra, that since it's unresolved, the Rebbe shouldn't go to the Talmud. And the Taz asked, just to tie into what we did discuss the other day, the Taz asked, that what do you mean? We have a homachleikis whether or not the other Inuim, besides Fachin and Shtia, which are clearly deraisa, are the other four Inuim deraisa or not. And Rif is of the opinion that the other four Inuim are derabanan. Well, we have a suffix if it's a problem of the Rebbe going to Talmud, is a suffix in an Inu, which is a derabanan, Rechitza, and therefore you should go to Kula. Why is Rif going to Chumra? This Terutzim, but the point is it just brings out that same big machleikis. We have had the Rush, the Ran, Tosfos, Rambam, Rashi, all different, not all different sides. There's two different sides of the equation, whether the other four Inuim are Daraisa, or are they Darabanan. We just spoke the other day, a Svar from the Ritva, that I think it was the Ritva, I may be confused, the Ritva and the Rosh, that they all are Daraisa, but it was given over the Chachamim. I think it was actually yesterday we spoke this out, in this Gemara. It was going with the Chachamim to determine when it applies, like a Chalamayin. It's Daraisa, but the Chachamim have the rights to, the Torah gave the Chachamim the rights to determine when it applies. And then just one last conversation. Once we're on the topic of going through bodies of water, we keep discussing, and the Gemara discussed going through bodies of water up to the neck. Gemara says, how can you go on bodies of water up to the neck? In Yecheskel's vision, that's what we're going to pick up from, of the waters that emanate from the Kodesh Kedoshim, it starts off as very light waters, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it stopped. He stopped being able to traverse it once it was above the waist. certainly not to the neck. It's too dangerous. And if you ever talk about going through the going up in waters up to the neck, the answer is, if it's calm waters, you can go into the waters up to the neck. If it's swift-moving waters, the nechama is dangerous to go into the water, then it goes up to the neck. That was the Gemara's chiluk. Let's pick it up from Rabbi Amar Pinchas B'Shem Rav Huna Tzipaira. That is four lines up from the bottom of the page on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. Again, this first Gemara is going to continue on this topic, more Agadah style, and then we get back to our conversation. It is a big Amud, but it does read relatively quickly. A bunch of stories. Hopefully, we'll be able to finish pretty much on time. Amar Pinchas B'Shem Rav Huna Tzipaira. Mayin Hayetzim, Mayin Yetzim, Mesim Kesh Kedashim. There's a spring that came forth from the Kesh Kedashim. Again, this is the vision of Cheskel about Bayis Shlishi. If I didn't say it till now, I should have. It's a vision about Bayis Shlishi, and there's going to be this mayan that comes out. But first, it starts off like the antennas of locusts, very small, basically, like the antennas of locusts. Once it reaches the Pesach Hechel, it starts from the Kesh Kedashim. That's on the western side of the area on the Har Bayis, and going from west to east, you're going to have Kesh Kedashim, Hechel, Ulam, Azara, as Yisrael, right, and so on and so forth. So we say the waters start off as thin, like the antennas of a grasshopper, of locust. And then it says, Kibish the Pesach, once you reach the Pesach of the Hechel, Nasik Chutz Shashasi, it gets a little thicker, like the thread of the Shasi, that's the warp thread. That's the one that's more stationary. Kibish Gilulam, once it goes to the Ulam, which is the antechamber outside the Hechel, it gets a little bigger, Nasik Chutz Erev, that's the woof. That's the thread that goes back and forth. That's a little bit thicker than the warp thread. Once it reaches the Pesach Azara, where it's slowly going to turn out to the south, we'll see it goes southward. Once it reaches there, it already is not going to be pachat. It's like the size of a small flask. And before we go further in the Gemara, just to point out, the Ben Yada, who's one of the key mefarshim by God, the Gemara's Ben Yada, or the Inyakov, will actually go from both of them. Ben Yada says that two nekutas on the antennas of the locusts actually use these antennas to see. And the waters that are there, the Bayis Shlishi that emanate from the Kesh Kedashim, will be there to give some sort of depth. People, I guess, when they partake from those waters, they'll have some sort of deeper vision to be able to see the depths on a, you know, and understanding things on a more intellectual, on a deeper level through these waters. That's what it's representing. It's not stam that the antennas of the locust was used as the mashal. It's because just like that causes the locust to see, this is going to cause us to open our eyes more and see better. And furthermore, the mashal to the warp and the woof, the warp and the woof actually represent a man and a woman, right? The one that's stationary, that's the chassis, that's stationary, that represents the woman. And the air of going back and forth, that represents the man. And together, when you weave it back and forth, it becomes v'hayu l'basar echad. And what happens when they come basar echad? They can procreate a child, right? That's the idea, and the what it represents is that these waters will help make women fertile. These waters that are going to come from this stream in the Kodesh HaKadoshim will help make women more fertile to have children. Fine. Behind it, the Inyakov is a little bit different. The Inyakov just says, overall, we're still going through the great into the water, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That's actually a remez, bechlal, the vision, Chazal about the waters coming out of the stream. If the Beis Hamikdash is actually a symbol of the salvation, that when Kali Yisrael is in Golas, and what's going to happen is they're first going to see a little bit, like the light at the end of the tunnel, a little bit of salvation, and then it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger until it gets to this, in, you know, unstoppable stream. That's how the salvation in Mitzvah Shem is going to come, Behir of Yamenu. Okay, it says the Gemara, Behainu, Tetran, this is the meaning of the Mishnah that we learned in Midas, of Azmak of Aymer, Mayim, top of Ayin Ches Ba'al, Mayim, Mefachim, water as wide as a flask. Asidim liyasiyotzim mitachas mifsin habayis is going to come out of the mifsin habayis. Lilim is like the threshold of the bayis, which they touch as the azara, as the courtyard. Continues to get stronger and stronger. The waters larger and larger. Atch begin the pesach bayis David, which is the pesach of David's house, which was the pesach of David's house, which was in Hartzion. Kivan. Once Shemagiel, the Pesach Beis Tav, once it reached these waters, Pesach Beis David, Nasa Kanacha Shaitif, it was a flowing stream, a fast flowing stream. Shabai Richten Zavis Nidus Fieldas. In that stream, you have Zavin, those are male Zavis, female Zavis, Nidus, and Yeladas, all going to the mikvah to be Matar themselves from their Tumash. And it says, Bemuya Makar Niftach Lebeis David, Ulyesh Vishlaim, Lechatas Lenid, if the people need to become Tar from their Tumah, they'll go there. That's how it's going to be a big stream fit for them to be Matar themselves. Amar Beisif, Mekan Rabbis Lenidus Shetichal Yeshiv, Atzavar Abamayim. Rabbi says, there's a remez to the Nida that she has to be up to water in her neck. Rabbi Beisif was of the opinion, there's a general concern that when we're saying that it's fit for the nidus and the zavas to be retiring themselves, why do you pick the word? Is that Elsa David's house? Because that's when it's flowing strongly, and that's when it's a bigger stream ready, and it could fit up to her neck. Why is he stressing that? Because if someone has to crouch down to go to a mikveh, then when they crouch down, they can create folds, crevices in their body that water may not penetrate, which is like a chazitza. So he's saying that we're makpid that she should be up to her neck in water, so it's not creating these crevices. Now, says the Gemara further, Amar Beisif, that's what we just quoted, that's Rav Beisif, the lesach is above. Remember, it says lach is not like him. What's the lach like? A lach is that as long as it's slightly above the waist, I don't know if it's like a tefach, slightly above the waist, that is sufficient, and you don't have to worry about crouching down and creating crevices. As long as it's that height, it's good. Actually, Shulchan Aruch is brought down, I think it's Simen Kuf Pei Vav. It's brought down in I believe, in Yerdeah, that I think it's Kufeva, maybe Kufeches, Kufevav, that Anida is supposed to be able to stand in the water that reaches at least her stomach area, her navel area. The Sheva Levi says the Diakiz has to be at least that height, but Avad, it's okay to be higher. So we're saying like Agamara Sochasa, not like your Basif, but we're saying it's not bad to be that height, like the neck, like Yerisa is saying, it just doesn't have to be that height. However, the base can bring that too high is taka no good either. Because if it's too high and she's not comfortable, then she won't probably go to the mikvah either. It has to be the right height that it's easy for her to submerge her whole body in the water, but comfortable enough that she's not going to be nervous to go in there and maybe perhaps not put her body in fully properly. Okay, the first one actually bring, interesting the other way, that there is an need to crouch a little bit, because crouching also enables to get the crevices. So bowing too much can create a problem, but crouching, not crouching at all, could also create a problem where some things could be covered and locked up. Now, Tais actually brings, once on the topic, Tais actually brings three sources that to the idea of nidah midaraisa, unbelievable. Look at Tais, Shalu, Mekame, Rav Yehuda Gaon, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. Find that, you don't find that lesson too often, right? So Tais, Tefilas nidah midaraisa minnalan. How do we know Tefilas nidah midaraisa? What are the sources? So Tais brings a few, three sources over here in Tais, not going to throw it to all different sides, but inside. But Tais brings three sources. The middle source Tais brings is from Ben Atam, for the word may nidah by Tefilas Kalim. May nidah by Tefilas Kalim, and we darshan why it's called may nidah. Must be mayim shanidah tefilas bam. So we see that nidah, Anida also has a din of tefillah midaraisa. But what they take out of that Tosfos is that Rabbeinu Tam certainly holds tefillah kalim is deraisa. We're comparing Nida to tefillah kalim and use the word may need by tefillah kalim. It must be in the din of waters of Nida, which is deraisa. But the context of the pasuk is talking about kalim. It must be tefillah kalim is deraisa. That's what they take from Rabbeinu Tam, which is not so pashut. Rambam Hilchos Mechas Asuras Perek Yedayin seems to learn. They're medayik, at least the Rambam, that it's only midrabbanan. He calls it midrabbanan. Say from this, Kesef Mishnah says it's only midrabbanan. Others say no. Rambam himself used lashon elsewhere of a piyash shmua, which is more of an idea of alchemish sinai, more of an idea of deraisa. So they have conflicting reports from Rambam or conflicting opinions in what Rambam holds, whether it's deraisa or it's drabbanan. But Taisa Aviyah certainly is learning from Marina Tam that tevilas kalim is deraisa. Now the source of that would be, of course, by the sugya of Midyan. That's probably why you're making a face. And by the Sugya Midyan, we certainly say that Hagolas Kalim's Daraisa. That's not the question. That's for sure. That's clear over there. That Kol Shevav Mayim has to go by Mayim. Certainly from there we learn Hagolas Kalim's Daraisa. Mechalikas is, are we also learning from there the Chiyuv of Tefilas Kalim's Daraisa? Again, Rabbeinu Tam saying clear it is. Rabbeinu Tam saying clear, Tefilas Kalim's Daraisa. But in Rambam, it seems to be Mechalikas whether Tefilas Kalim is Daraisa. Okay. Says, yes, be more specific. Tefilas Kalim, talking about, let's say, you buy a new kli. When you buy a new kli, nothing to tumma. A new kli, that's a kli that was finished by a guy. There's a chiv through tefillah. Irrespective, let's say you know for sure the guy was tar. I don't think it makes a difference. It's a raisa, that's what I'm saying. We're saying according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's a raisa. That's the point. We're discussing it in Rambam, if he agrees, but that's what we're saying. Yena tefillah, not just hagola, kashering it, or tumma, like Akiva saying, yena chami, tumma, of course that's a raisa. You're absolutely correct. But this tefillah, because it was completed by a guy, if it's completed by a yid, you don't have to tefillah it, right? Kalim completed Eretz Yisrael, or what some people do is, especially these kalim that are hard to tevil, for example, they may break, they have electric elements to it, there's different leniencies of what to do. Sell it to a guy, which is not so ayayay, because that guy is never going to take it with him when he leaves, so are you really selling it to him? But one of the eitzes is to unscrew it, unscrew a part of it, kind of unfinish it, and then finish it again. Finish the idea yid, no din tefillah. Only when it's finished the idea yid is din tefillah. But that din the right, so that din of tefillah's kalim on a kli finished by a guy, that's the way that we seem to have a little bit of a machlekes on that. Yes. They use it as a sniff. They use the leniency that plugging into the wall, it makes the mechubal karka. Mechubal karka doesn't need tefillah in something that can get destroyed easily. So I'll say, but do you have uvda? Sometimes I will sell it and combine that, the two kulas. Sell it to a guy, and when I'm scared it's going to break, sell it to a guy, and you plug into the wall. I rely on those two kulas together. Not everyone agrees to that. Yes. The big issue with selling to a guy is when you sell it, let's say, to your nanny, and the nanny, you know, can stay with you for 30 years, gavaldig, but very often, and the machine's long broken, but very often, the nanny leaves. Temporary. They leave. They're there for a year or two, 3 years. They leave. Do they take it with them? And it's a little bit of a giloy that it was never theirs. It was that's so. If you keep a, if you're saying you can keep a percentage, I'm not sure about it. I have to verify. But if that's what you're saying, you could do that. Then that can make a big difference. Then the fact they're keeping it would no longer be advised that it was never a sale in the first place. That's an interesting point. Okay, we'll have to clarify that. That's a good point. It was very relevant by COVID when people bought kelim Pesach time. Kelim Pesach right in the beginning of COVID, and people bought kelim and they give big heterim to be sell to guy and not be tevil, but to write and make sure that when mikvahs open up, buy it back from the guy and be tevil, because it's really, in general, to just sell to a guy and not table it, and then you have it forever, you're using it, and they leave, it's really a little bit of a fake idea. Okay, says about further. Teinachem Kippurim, back to the idea of going through water on Yom Kippur. Teinachem Kippurim, let him know. Let me get this shalv, if there's a gear over here, because it's in parentheses, I'm going to read it. So, it's good Yom Kippur, well, you can't wear shoes anyway. There's no concern of shoes falling off in the water. Shabbos, take them no, but Shabbos, you can wear shoes. My, what's the halacha? Could you go through a stream of water? Meaning, are we considered about Haitzah? It merges with Varney. Even if you say there's Haitzah on Yom Kippur, there's not a concern by Yom Kippur about the shoe falling off, because guess what? You don't wear shoes on Yom Kippur. But on Shabbos, but you wear shoes, are we scared that if you go through a body of water, the shoe may fall off, and you make up to carry it, or not? See, there's going to be a whole bunch of stories on these topics. Chasna Bein Nasiya, Rabbi Chaim, the son-in-law of Bein Nasiya, of the Anasi, he says follows, Anichizis, Chazise, the Rav Ami Ravasi, the Mata Urkama Demaya. I saw Rav Ami Ravasi, they came upon a pool of water on Shabbos, Vavru Derech Mabish, and they crossed it while they were fully clothed. Fully clothed in this context means, even with shoes. So therefore, shoes are not a problem. Teinach Ben Olmer says, okay, fine, so shoes he sees not a problem. Sandal, Mike, what about a sandal? A sandal which is a little loose. Maybe that should be a concern. I'm Rav Chumi. Anachazis the Ravina. I saw Ravina. Remember that name. I saw Ravina, Davar Derech Malbush, who walked Derech Malbush again, clothed, fully clothed in this context means, with sandals on. So obviously not a problem. Rav Asher, Rav Asher's point says, even so, sandal lechatchila. Don't do lechatchila. Sandal, a little looser. Don't walk through a body of water lechatchila with it on, because it could fall off, and then you may come to carry it. So Mar says the story now. Reish Galusa was a powerful family that often were very learned, but sometimes not as learned, but they actually, Rav Nachman married into Reish Galusa, just as an example, the God Aldar, Rav Nachman was the son of Reish Galusa, but they were very powerful, and they used to demand covered. So what happened was as follows. Reish Galusa declared Grena the Beir Nassan. Reish Galusa came to Grena to the house of Rav Nassan. Spent Shabbos there. Rav Ram Vakulu Rabbanan Asal Pirka. So Rav Ram and all the Rabbanan came to the Pirka, to the shear that the Reish Galusa gave. Ravina Las, Ravina didn't come to the shear. Same Ravina. Lemachaber Ephraim lafukei Ravina medaite dreish glusa. So the next year, Ephraim, he wanted to get Ravina in the good books. Dreish glusa, they're powerful people. He didn't want them to be in the bad books. So what did he do? He asked on purpose to try to. He knew Ravina must have a good excuse. Make sure the excuse comes to the forefront, and they should hear why he didn't come. Why did he come to the pirka? The Murray was giving Agdam, but say he wasn't trying to show him up. He was trying to kind of defend for him because he knew he'd have a good answer. Amalei, have a call the kari. My foot was hurting me. Well, that's not such a good answer. So that Ephraim said, you should have just put on a shoe if your foot was hurting you. Presumably, leading him on to knowing he has an answer up his sleeve. So you should have just put on a shoe to protect your feet. Why didn't you put on a shoe to protect your feet? Says Gemara. Gaba, dekari have. So Ravina answered that the top of my foot is hurting, and therefore it doesn't help the shoes on the bottom, protects the bottom, doesn't protect the top. So he says, so why don't you put on a sandal, which is only on the bottom, not really on the top, it's not a full shoe. Amalei, Urkama Demai Havibarte, there's a pool of water in my area on the Barucha, on the way to this, where I'd go to the shear. Ibrahim Avri Derech Malbush, so Ephraim said, no problem, why don't you walk through it fully clothed, meaning including sandals. You could just walk through it wearing the sandals. So Amalei, Ravina said back, Leisav Lamar, Lahad Amar Ashi, Lechatchila. Don't you hold what Rav Ashi says? Lechatchila, you shouldn't wear sandals. Okay, good answer for Ephraim. Problem is, Ravina was the one that wore sandals. He was the proof that he said, you could wear it. Rav Ashi said about that, even though Ravina did it, we shouldn't do it. Lechatchila. But Ravina himself, so I see what you're moving your hands. Meaning, so there's three different answers given. One answer given is, I'm guessing this is what you got in mind, is Avad Ravina himself didn't yield to walk Lechatchila. But he need to give a good answer for the Reish Galusa. Right, so for the Reish Galusa, it's a good teretz. I can be saying that the Chumra on Rav Ashi, which as an excuse why he didn't come, but not that that was the real reason. That is one answer the Mefarshim give. Very good. You have the answer. Another answer Tais Shana gives is you have two Ravinas. We know in the Gemaras, we know there's two Ravinas. So this is talking about the same Ravina. I'm pleased. So bothered by the question. It's so close in proximity. You have Ravinas wearing, being the simmon of wearing a sandal, and Ravina uses the excuse that you can't wear a sandal. Must be two Ravinas. That's answer number two. And answer number three, brought in the Mefarshim, see, Chitzchak brings his answer, is that he was Chayzer. Ravina and Vashi were the same dar. So Ravina initially held you weird. Vashi said, Lechatchila, you shouldn't do it. He said, Kibalti, I'm asking. And once, by this story, he was writing Makabal, that you don't do Lechatchila, and therefore he had to change his mind. Not fair. The three answers. Yes. Shani Yehuda Bar Gregris. Also, the yeshiv begat beitina b'yom kippurim. Interesting halacha. It's also to sit on a mud, on a muddy ground on Yom Kippur. The issue is not the mud. The mud's making him dirty. The issue is the moisture of the mud will like seep into his clothing, onto his body, and give him a feeling of like bathing, of rechitza. Interesting enough. And that's a pleasure, and that's a gishmak. Says Gemara, when we talk about a mud, we're talking about a mud that really has a lot of moisture, that it gives off moisture. Abaye takes the next level. This is a shir that we've heard many times. Tefeich amas latfiach. What does that mean? It gives off moisture that gives further moisture. So if I touch it, that moisture, and then I touch someone else, I bring moisture from my hand onto someone else. That is a shear given for the shear schit in general on Shabbos. Classic case that's very irrelevant. Second time in 2 weeks talking about diapers again, but with the wipes, using baby wipes on Shabbos. The shear they always say was, if you can touch it and it makes your hand moist enough that you can touch something else and it's moist, that's tevech mas tevech. That could be serious issues of schit. If it's much less moist than that, that could be funny. It's a little counterintuitive. You think if it's that wet, you're not doing schit, it's just that wet automatically. But apparently, if it's less wet than that, then you're better off. And we have to see that in this upcoming Gemara, very interesting Gemara, about wet towels on Yom Kippur. Amar Rav Yehuda, mutter stanin beperis. It's mutter to cool oneself off with peris. So use a pre that's cool. You could use that to cool oneself off. That's not a problem. On Yom Kippur, Rav Yehuda misanin bekura. Rav Yehuda, you actually use a gourd or a squash. Cool oneself off. Rav misanin beyanuka. Rabbo, you cool oneself off with a baby skin. I guess the baby's not wrapped up and swaddled. The baby's skin can get a little cool. And he would put the baby against him and it would cool him off. Rav would cool himself off with a silver cup. He would cool himself off. Amar Papa, about the last one, the cup. Don't use a cup that's full, because if it's full, it can easily spill over, and that's a form of rechitza. Chasashari, but if it's not full, then it's permissible. And furthermore, the pachar, if it's made of earthenware, still going to be usher, even if it's not full. I'd be usher because earthenware typically was more porous, and water can ooze out, can seep out through it, and if it's right, the problem. Mishum the mishchal shach, like we just said, because it comes out, it seeps through the sides of the cup, it comes out. Rav Ashi Amar. Even a cup of silver, not earthenware, and that's empty, is still a problem. You know why? Because it slips out of one's hand. And what does that mean? Why it slips out of one hand? Is it because we know, like silver cups, metal cups, often, maybe out of condensation, when they're full inside, the outside gets a little slippery as well? Is that the concern? But then it would definitely be a metal cup, the silver cup that we're talking about. Or is it a general concern that people aren't always so steady and was scared that liquid, even in a non-full cup, just like the first mind number said before, her papa said, a full cup, it may splash out. Even a non-full cup, it may come to splash out, and that itself, splashing out would be a problem. Again, nafkamin is it dafka related to silver cups, or would it be relevant by all types of cups? And Ramataka says that at least all metals, somewhere in between, all metals, not dafka silver, one should be careful. It doesn't say all cups, but all metals, one should be careful, somewhere in between, seemingly, Rashi, who speaks about the metal of the silver, and the Rush that speaks about, in general, the hands not being steady. Okay, now we get to what I referenced before about these towels. So it's a very important detail here. Zira Bachama used to be the host of Rav Ami Rav Asi, referenced before, Rav Shulman Levi, and all of the Chachamim of Kesaria, they all used to stay by him. So he once told Rav, the son of Rav Shulman Levi, Ba'arya, son of a lion, your father's Rav Shulman Levi. I'm going to tell you something amazing that your father used to do. He would have a towel with him on Erev Yom Kippur, which he would soak in the water. He'd make it like dry. How did he make it like dry? He wrung it out. Key detail. He wrung out the dripping moisture that he wrung out. He made it like dry. He would wipe his hands, face, and feet with that towel. Erev Tishbav, similarly, Erev Tishbav also this issue of washing one's body. Shaira, he would also soak the towel in water. But doesn't say over here about wringing it out, because remember, on Yom Kippur, there's a problem of mischita. On Tish B'Av, mischita, just a problem of washing. So he didn't wring it out. And the next day, he would put it on his eyes. The first people looked bothered. That's interesting. When it's more moist, you only use it for the eyes. And when it's less moist, you're able to use your hands, face, and feet. So some actually say flip it, which is going to be the next story. The next story will actually flip it. It's going to say that by Yom Kippur, it was only on the eyes. Over the eyes and on Tisha B'Av's hands, face, and feet. Okay, says Gemara B'chein Kesser Rabbi Marmari. Similar type of story. Amar, he said, "Be'ef Tisha B'Av mevi le mitpachas, and Be'ef Tisha B'Av they bring Mishum Levi a towel, v'sharis of mayim and soak it in water, manichat tachas marshayisav, place it under the bed. Notice over here, it doesn't say anything about squeezing it out. Ulumachar ponakanech panav yad raglav, and he would wash the next day hands, face, and feet with this towel from Erevim, soaked from Erevim Kippur. Sorry, I said that wrong. That was he started with Erev Tisha B'Av. Erev Tisha B'Av. And again, it wasn't squeezed out because it was Erev Tisha B'Av. They have Kippurim, Mevilim B'Tachas Erev Kippur, they bring him a towel, Vesheles Mayim, they soak in the water, Vaisak Kalem Guvim, again over here, you would squeeze it out to wring it, so that shouldn't be a problem. Schito, Ulumach Mavir Al Gavi Einav, and the next day, they put pass it over his eyes, so Rav Akiva says to Rav Yirmiyah Tachlifa, Ivcha Amritlan, you once told us opposite, Vaisfinach Schita, and we asked you, it can't be opposite, because you can't leave it on Yom Kippur while it's soaking wet, because that'll be problem with Schita. So we asked you opposite, we asked you about Schita, which is why, presumably, it now changed, and you're saying it the opposite way, that you wrung it out on, it was wrung out by Yom Kippur, and not by Tisha B'Av. Okay, the Mar now, which is going to be the last Mar that we'll see today, the Mar is going to bring two questions that were asked Rabbi Elazar, second of which relates very much to our sugya of sandals and Yom Kippur, but that we won't see tonight. That's the last line of the Amud. But we're going to see the first discussion, which is really a separate shaila from us, but it's part of a pair of shailas that were asked together. So we say this first one here as well. Shalu was Rav Elazar. They asked Rav Elazar the following shaila. Zaken v'yeshu b'yeshiva. Zaken, who is yeshu b'yeshiva, he sat in front of the Sanhedrin. We know a bechor, especially if it's banazel, when there's no base of Mikdash, but even the ban of Mikdash, if it's a mum, you don't have to bring it as a carpet to base of Mikdash. You can shecht in your backyard. You can't shecht in the market. You got to shoot a special. But the point is, you can shecht in the backyard, and the kain, it's easier for the kain, gets to keep more of it, and therefore it would be beneficial to him, especially if it's banazel for sure. If it's a ban mum, now he can actually use it. Otherwise, he can't use it. So who could paskin that it's a ban mum? So we know a musmach, someone who has a license to paskin, can paskin. What about someone who sat in front of the Sanhedrin, but he didn't get the official license to paskin? Can he paskin about this or not? That's the shayla. Tzarech lito rishus, la'at b'chayrus, ein tzarech. Maikam b'ayla. Tzmer says, what exactly was the shayla? Hacham b'aylu. Shayla was as follows. Ke'adam rav idibar aven, davar zay, nich lehem, lebein asil, kideh eskadabay. They left this idea, this power of being paskining about mumim by Bechar. They left the Bein Asiya in order to give the Bein Asi chashivas, and therefore Tzarech Lito Rishus. So therefore, even a member of Sanhedrin who's certainly be, you know, capable, knowing of the halachas, has to get Rishus because it was like a shrara, it was like a authority given over to the Bein Asiya. He's that level. So he doesn't have to go and you know get permission before passing. Amar Rav Tzadik ben Chaluka al Raglov. Rav Tzadik ben Chaluka got up on his feet and he said, "Ani Rishis Rav Beis ben Zimra, Rav Beis ben Zimra, Shazakin v'yeshiv yeshiva. Rav Beis ben Zimra was a zakin who sat by the Sanhedrin. V'yamer b'mala mezikne shozeh, and he was standing before this one that's discussing right now, meaning the current Nasi who's in charge now, he was standing in front of the Nasi's grandfather, and what did he do? He got Rishus. He got Rishus. So we see, even a Zakin that's Ayman on Sanhedrin has to get Rishus from the Nasi. Even a Zakin on Sanhedrin would have to get Rishus from the Nasi. Okay, another opinion on this matter. Abba, you got the story wrong. The story is as follows. That part's true. The story was with Rav Yisrael ben Zimra, but he himself was a Kayan. The issue wasn't that he needs Rishus to Paskin, even though he's a Yeshiva Sanhedrin. He himself was a Kayan, which makes him, what we say in English, a Negebedaver. It makes him biased. He's a Kayan. Paskin Tzabal Mum is relevant to him, and maybe that makes it a problem. Says the Gemara. The shayla over there was when he asked of the Nasi's grandfather, someone a kohen who's affected by this, therefore he's suspect to maybe pull the trigger faster to call it bamum. Could he paskin on it? And do we say he can't paskin v'lemide? He can't testify. Says Amar Nemenu al shel chaveire ve'inem al shel atzma. You're right. He certainly can't paskin on his own, but he at least can paskin the gabe someone else. He can paskin on someone else's. That's okay. And do we rely on that psak or shingamil? And the nasi told him, alach shingamil, and therefore you're basically ben zimmer. You know you're kayan. You could paskin for your friend's animal, but not for your own. He wasn't getting rishus to paskin b'chala. Maybe to paskin in general, he would have not needed rishus as a member of the Sanhedrin. But because he's a kayan, he had a separate concern that as a kayan, he's biased. Maybe he can't paskin. And the psak was, you could paskin for others, like shingamil, not like a mayor. You are able to paskin for others. So that's not a raya. That story wasn't a raya to our original shayla. We'll pick it up tomorrow from the next shayla, which relates back to Yom Kippur. Have a wonderful evening.